We will have Bhagavatam class now. Shri Shri Radha Kalachandri ki jai. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari. Yashodanandana Braj Janaranjana. Yashodanandana Braj Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupad, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupad. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Ashtotar Sata Shri Shri Madhis Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki Prem Sikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyam Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan ki Shri Vrindavan Dham ki Shri Mathura Dham ki Shri Navadvip Mayapur Dham ki Shri Jagannath Puri Dham ki Shri Shri Jagannath Swami ki Ganga Mai ki Jamuna Mai ki Bhakti Devi ki Tulsi Maharani ki Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki Nitai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Virabahu Prabhuti Namane Sri Sri Vrindata Vivira Padapanka Chataini Prabhupada Nupadaya Nama Sri Virabhave. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna, today is Saturday, May 6th, 2017, and we're reading from the 11th canto, chapter 14. I'd like to pay my respects to all the assembled devotees here, gathered here, and those that are also listening online. Yesterday there was a class given by Srila Prabhupada, and so we're going to cover, just read through the verse from yesterday, and then also read the verse from today. Both of these verses are very, very beautiful, very powerful shlokas. So we'll start with the verse from yesterday, and then we'll do call and response for this verse. Can you see the board, both of you there? Yes? So you can do call and response when it's time. The verse from yesterday. Mayarpitatmana sabhya nirapekshasya sarvata. Mayatmana sukham yattat kutasyad vishayatmanam. O learned Uddhava, those who fix their consciousness on me, giving up all material desires, share with me a happiness that cannot possibly be experienced by those engaged in sense gratification. So I'd like you to please respond, O learned Uddhava, those who fix their consciousness on me, giving up all material desires, share with me a happiness that cannot possibly be experienced by those engaged in sense gratification. So if you can remember those few words, consciousness on me, and share with me. And then we'll go to the next verse, which is the one on the board. So please recite. Akinchanasya dantasya shantasya samachetasa maya santushta manasa sarva sukha maya disha akinchanasya dantasya shantasya samachetasa maya santushta manasa sarva sukha maya disha akinchanasya dantasya shantasya samachetasa maya santushta manasa sarva sukha maya disha. Please recite. Akinchanasya dantasya shantasya samachetasa मया संतुष्ट मनसा सर्वा सुख मया दिशा अकिंचनस्य दान्तस्य शान्तस्य समचेतसा मया संतुष्ट मनसा सर्वा सुख मया दिशा अकिंचनस्य दान्तस्य शान्तस्य समचेतसा मया संतुष्ट मनसा सर्वसुख मया दिशा अकिंचनस्य दान्तस्य शान्तस्य समचेतसा मया संतुष्ट मनसा सर्वसुख मया दिशा अकिंचनस्य दान्तस्य शान्तस्य समचेतसा मया संतुष्ट मनसा सर्वसुख मया दिशा. Anybody else? So what's nice about reciting these words is that when you recite them, you try and imbibe what the word is saying, and just by osmosis hope that the qualities that are being spoken of in these verses come into you. Here is the word for word. Akinchanasya. Of one who does not desire anything. Dantasya. Whose senses are controlled. Shantasya. Peaceful. Samachetasa. Whose consciousness is equal everywhere. Maya. With me. Santushta. Completely satisfied. Manasa. Whose mind. Sarva. All. Sukhamaya. Full of happiness. Disha. Directions. One who does not desire anything within this world, who has achieved peace by controlling his senses, whose consciousness is equal in all conditions, and whose mind is completely satisfied in me, finds only happiness wherever he goes. Please respond. One who does not desire anything within this world, who has achieved peace by controlling his senses, whose consciousness is equal in all conditions, and whose mind is completely satisfied in me, finds only happiness wherever he goes. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Before we read the purport, anybody want to say that they would like to be what the translation? Raise your hand if you feel like you would like to be at that place that the translation is speaking of. Yeah, me too. So I'm going to try and read the purport, and hopefully by the end of this class, we're a little closer to finding happiness wherever we go. A devotee who is always meditating upon Lord Krishna experiences transcendental sound, touch, form, flavor, and aroma in the pastimes of the Lord. These sublime perceptions are certainly due to the causeless mercy of Lord Krishna upon one whose mind and senses are completely satisfied in him. Such a person finds only happiness wherever he goes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the example that when a very wealthy man travels all over the world, at every place he stays, he always enjoys the same luxurious standard of comfort. Similarly, one who has developed Krishna consciousness is never separated from happiness, because Lord Krishna is all-pervading. The word kinchana indicates the so-called enjoyable things of this world. One who is akinchana has correctly understood that material sense gratification is simply the glare of illusion. And therefore, such a person is dantasya, or self-controlled, shantasya, or peaceful, and maya santushta manasa, or completely satisfied with his transcendental experience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now I'll recite some prayers for invocation, and then try and speak on these verses. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Virabahu Prabhu Iti Namine Shri Shri Vrindata Vivira Padapankaja Daini Prabhupada Nuvadaya Nama Shri Virabahave Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadi Shatarane Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhava Shri Chaitanya Mishwaram Vancha kalpa tarupyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. So in preparing for this, these verses, the first thing that I was able to get a chance to do was listen to the past few verses from the past week of the other great personalities in our temple who were discussing these topics. His Grace Dharma Prabhu, His Grace Mahahari Prabhu, His Grace Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And I'm feeling very fortunate to be able to join into the discussion, His Grace Rupanuga Prabhu. I'm feeling very fortunate to be able to join into their discussion. They've already spoken quite a few points on these topics. The background of what we're talking here is Krishna, the Supreme Lord, sitting with his very, very best friend, Uddhava. And Uddhava is such a best friend of Krishna that he looks exactly like him. He's so focused on Krishna. He has a bluish body. He wears yellow garments, and they're actually cousins. And so they're sitting having a beautiful conversation, which takes up quite a large amount of the Canto 11, called the Uddhav Gita. And in here, Uddhava is asking and throwing all kinds of challenging questions to his friend, as friends like to do, and Krishna is responding in many ways. So this whole part of the chapter 14 is discussing happiness. How can we find happiness? And about three or four verses prior, there was a long list of ways that Krishna says we can find happiness. Through sense control, through truthfulness, sense gratification, austerity, so many, many different ways that we could find happiness. And in here, the next verse, he completely rejects those. You think, oh, okay, these are paths that I can find happiness. Yeah, I can relate to that. I do those things. And then the next verse completely rejects it. And this is the verse right after that, where he says, this is the key to happiness. And so I was thinking about my own life, and in what way do I try to get happiness? And I have made it a practice every few months, every year, to analyze how I'm spending my days. I believe very strongly in writing down your purposes. So I have a vision board on my mirror, and at least every 6 or 7 months, I'll take a look at it, reevaluate it. What am I doing? And am I doing things that are actually making me happy? Even as devotees in Krishna consciousness, we wonder, am I doing things that will actually provide complete benefit to me? And after I do these Krishna conscious services, are they actually providing inner satisfaction, or does it still make me feel like I'm missing something? And so we had put on a play for Krishna's pastimes, the pearl pastime, and His Holiness Giriraj Swami and His Holiness Giridhari Swami were here. This was about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. And it was a big endeavor, a lot of work, tons and tons of struggle. And during the process of it, it was extremely bliss-producing because we were working with the devotees and working through different conflicts. At the same time, you're enveloped in Krishna's pastimes. But then at the end of it, I found that I was only left with exhaustion, frustration, and wondering, I did all of that endeavor. Is Krishna happy? Are the devotees happy? Am I feeling happy? And like that, every year goes by with my service at the school, wondering, am I finding happiness? Or is it just right out of my control, right out of my reach? And then on top of it, you have the process of Krishna consciousness trying to seek that happiness. And then you have the external material world dumping all the negativity and all the suffering and all the heavy diseases or famine or conflict or relationship issues. And so you may also find that in your own lives as you grow up. I don't know how old you two are. You seem still pretty young. But you may find as you progress through the years in your life that, am I actually happy? And if you have to stop to think about it, am I actually happy, then most likely you're not. And what I've noticed through my journey is that, you know, for babies, this seeking happiness happens from the very moment you're born and goes all the way until old age, where you're trying to seek for happiness. If you look at a one-year-old, they're not satisfied where they're at. You just watch a baby for a little while. They're so constricted by their bodies that they're continuously finding frustration in what they're not able to do. And if you look at a toddler who's now able to walk, not only they want to walk, but they want to do everything themselves. If you look at a 2-3-year-old that age, even at that age, they're not satisfied. They're not happy. They want to be like the older children. And they're trying, do it myself. I have to do it myself. Going out the door with a 2-year-old takes, you know, 5-10 minutes, what would usually just take 1 minute, because they have to put their shoes on themselves, even if they don't know how to. Mother Krishna Priya is here. She has a toddler, so she may be able to give us more insight on that. And then after that, you look at the next step, 5 and 8 and 10 years of age. Still, they're just waiting till they become older. They become just like the big kids. They can cook by themselves. And then when they become preteens or teenagers, my son Vraja is just waiting for when he can get his permit. It'll just happen when I get my permit, then I'll be happy. When I get my license, then I'll be happy. Then, oh, I have to finish school. I can't wait till I finish school. When I get out of college, then everything in life will be good. Let me just finish college. And goodness, it's been almost 40 years of this, continually thinking that happiness is just around the corner there. Krishna, if only I get married and find a really good husband, a great pure devotee husband, I get married, then I'll be happy. Then marriage comes, and okay, things go on along. And oh, now everybody's asking when you'll have kids. And then if only the kids come, then I'll be happy. Once the children come, then they have to grow up. On and on and on and on. And it never ends. You're always thinking that happiness is just within my reach. And I'll be satisfied. And Krishna, I'll be able to serve you 100% perfectly, because I'll be perfectly in my element. And I'll be satisfied if only this and if only that. And so many of us may experience that. This happiness is right around the corner. How can we find that place that Krishna is speaking of here? We find happiness everywhere? It seems so far away. How can we find happiness everywhere? So what's so beautiful is the scriptures and the devotees in their experiences, and especially the scriptures, especially the nectar of devotion. It really gives a step-by-step understanding of what is happiness and how can we relieve this tension of when am I going to be happy? How am I going to be happy? Even if you look first, the scriptures say, anandamayo bhyasat. Every single living entity is constantly searching for happiness. So that search that we're doing, it's natural. We just did a plant project in the classroom, and we had these impatiens that were growing. And they're testing different variables to see how to whether or not the inpatients will thrive putting Coke and milk and juice and water. And the ones that are not doing so good, they have reached out their branches toward the window where the sun is coming in. They are also seeking for happiness. The sun will give me some relief from this Coke that's being poured on me, and it will give me happiness. And so even the plants are seeking happiness. And I watched such a cute little YouTube video last night of a little kitten who's in a glass cage and a little puppy who's in a glass cage. And the kitten has tried to climb up out of the glass cage. There's a little hole at the top of both of them. And it's very precarious. You're watching it and you're stressed out because this kitten may fall and hurt herself. She has to climb out of her glass cage, somehow or another, make her way around to the other glass cage to get with the little puppy dog. She's made a new friend. And you have to watch her jump out and go into the other glass cage. And even she is seeking for this happiness, this comfort, and ready to go through all kinds of turmoil in order to get there. Anandamayo Bhyasat. And so the types of happiness that we find here in the world are categorized into three types. They're generally categorized into two types. I've broken it out into three types. The first one is the one that Krishna is very focused on here. Sense gratification. Sense pleasure. Everything that I hear, see, touch, taste, smell. Those things that I do that give pleasure to my senses will automatically give pleasure to my mind. And my mind is the sixth sense, or the controller of the five senses, and it thinks that it will be happy by these five sense pleasures. But what is so unfortunate, Adyantavanta, this sense pleasure that we're putting all of our effort into, it has a beginning and it has an end. And so ultimately, the pleasure itself has an innate, built-in unhappiness. The other side of the coin. Matra sparsha stukaunteya shitoshna sukadukkada agama paino nitya tamstitikshasvabharata. That any pleasure we get from our senses has an automatic, innate, built-in with it, distress. Because of the fact that it's temporary. Because it has a beginning and an end, it is temporary. So what does that mean for us when we think of sense pleasure? For me, sense pleasure is comfortable life, comfortable car, soft bed, hot showers, not too much stress, not too much discomfort. If I sit in this room, it shouldn't be too hot or too cold. If it's too hot in the car, I get frustrated, annoyed. If it's too, and that's just in a very basic level. The mind wants to always feel like there's some happiness in my surroundings and my senses are happy. And that happiness or that peace that comes from satisfying the senses, that I consider to be great happiness. That's the first type of happiness that Krishna is automatically rejecting in these two verses. Forget about the sense pleasure. Don't aim for sense pleasure. The second one that I've identified, or through the studies have been identified, is desires. So desire also brings some kind of happiness in our hearts. The most clear time you can see this is with children. Children are very generally happy for no reason. They tend to be happy. They also tend to be sad for no reason, but we'll focus on the happiness. They tend to be very happy for no reason, and especially when they know they're going to get something. When there's a desire of getting something, they're very happy. And we notice this in the school at Christmas time. We have a Secret Santa, Dadati Pratigrinati party, where if you give and receive presents, and I was thinking about, when is the happiest time in our school? I would say Kirtan is probably actually when everybody's really very happy. And then second to that is Christmas time. At this party, it's like a palpable buzz that you feel of all the kids jittery and ready to wait to open their presents. Each child has brought a present for another student, and no one knows who the students have given presents for except for the teachers. Maybe some kids have tried to figure it out. And they're sitting around, and they're just waiting, that hankering. Kankshati, it's called Kankshati, that hankering is what brings the happiness. And so we're so accustomed, first, number one, sense pleasure, getting happiness through sense pleasure. And second, getting happiness through just the desire of the item. Not even necessarily the fulfillment of that desire, but thinking about how I'm going to get that new car. The process of thinking about it brings this false sense of happiness, because once all of the children have opened up all their presents, it's gone. They've been waiting and waiting for 3 weeks, 4 weeks for this party that is going to come, and they're all happy at that moment. But once the present has been opened, that happiness that they were feeling, oh, okay, maybe I got what I wanted, maybe I didn't. Some kids are so happy, thrilled, wow, that was the best gift ever. You know which parents will give the best presents, so you're hoping your child will get that parent, so you don't have to worry about your child complaining that their present wasn't good enough. But sure enough, as soon as they look at their present, they're looking at someone else's. Oh, that's so cool. That one is so much nicer. And so where did that happiness go? It's gone. It was just this idea, that idea that happiness is right over there. Kankshati. And that kankshati, again, has an equalist, the other side of the coin, shochati, lamentation. Na shochati, na kankshati. That's where we're supposed to be. But instead we have kankshati and shochati. Lamentation comes right after desire. So sense pleasure, number one, is where we try and get our happiness. Number two, it's kankshati or hankering, trying to get some. Even if you think of hankering when you have a beloved friend or a dear family member or a beloved relative, they come to your house and you're looking forward to them coming to your home. And in the process of looking forward to them, I've also noticed the week that they're about to come is so much more exciting in my mind and so much more feels like, oh, this is so, then when they're actually there, 1-2 days will pass. And then after 5-6 days, after 2-3 weeks, after a few years, you start feeling, oh, I can't do this. The happiness is gone. So the happiness from sense pleasure, the happiness from desiring, those are the two happinesses that we try and seek. The third material happiness that we try and seek is actually considered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the worst of all three. And this is negation from material suffering. So, strictly speaking, most spiritualists feel that negation from material suffering is actually the higher happiness to try and attain. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. So it's Bhukti and Mukti. The first two were in the category of Bhukti, or enjoying my senses. And this one I'm speaking about now is in the category of Mukti. And actually, the happiness that comes from Mukti, or from negation of material suffering, is higher. Brahmanda, Brahmananda, the happiness that comes from this negation of material suffering, because now you feel no material suffering, you are in a state of joy, tranquility, and peace. And this is something we are supposed to attain for, achieve. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has rejected this. Why? Because negation from material suffering is actually, strictly speaking, breaking down love. And I'll speak a little bit more about that a little later. How this third type of happiness that we seek is actually counterproductive to us seeking eternal, spiritual, transcendental happiness with Krishna. But negation from material suffering is equivalent to, in the Salem, North Carolina, many, many years ago, 200-300 years ago, they had witch trials. And anybody they found to be a witch in the strict Christian environment, they would not hang them as a punishment, but they would put them in a bucket, big bucket, in the river, and they would dunk them in the water. And they would feel like, okay, if this person truly is a messenger from God or an angel or something, then nothing will happen to her. But if she's a witch and she's from Satan, or, you know, from the devil, then she'll die. And so they would dunk her in the water, and then after she's just about to like struggle, bring her back up. Now she's breathing. Oh, for me, that's happiness. And then dunked back in the water and suffering. And then brought back up and that's happiness. So that is another allegory to our happiness in this world. We have so much misery always being dumped on us that when there is no misery, we feel, oh, it's happiness. And this actually happens every single day. Every single day you wake up and you experience what misery? Hunger. Try and go without breakfast and then without lunch and then go in the dinner time and you're feeling hungry. So that nice food that you're eating that think you're thinking is making you happy is actually just negation from material suffering. And most of things that are there to satisfy our senses are just negation from material suffering. So these three types of happinesses are rejected by the Supreme Lord. So this is basically our whole identity, our whole life are these three things. So if that's rejected, what are we going to do? How are we going to be happy? Where will we find happiness? The good thing is that there are so many beautiful instances and verses and encounters and instructions on how to find real happiness. And now we will discuss those. So the first thing we have to understand is not only are we as spirit souls anandamayo bhyasat always seeking after happiness. Why are we always seeking after happiness? Because hello, we are made of sat chit ananda. We are actually intrinsically already made of pure ananda. Intrinsically, we are already happy. We don't actually have to seek it anywhere. It's literally who we are made of, what we are already. Sat chit ananda. Our identity, just like this table is made of wood. I am already made of ananda or bliss. So I'm already happy. My eternal spiritual Krishna conscious eternal nature is already to be happy. Number one, sat chit ananda. And number two, you don't need any external source because right next to you is the person who is the source of that happiness. He is the param atma, the one who is the supreme entity filled with Satchit Ananda, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha. And we are his part and parcel right next to him, also filled with Satchit Ananda. And our Ananda comes from here. And Krishna is so beautifully saying, give it up. Give up all these temporary happinesses. And what is he saying in the previous verse? They share with me a happiness that just cannot possibly be experienced. So he's saying, my dear devotee, my dear gopi, come, share this happiness with me. Both of us are already eternally happy. It's like enchanting, enamoring, enticing words. Come, share it with me. He's not saying just be happy alone. Come, share this happiness with me. Forget all of these other types of happinesses and share it with me. Sri Krishna is calling us within our heart. Come share it with me. And how? The next verse says, fix your consciousness on me. That's the first verse. Fix your consciousness on me. Man mana bhava. This is two verses inside the Srimad Bhagavad Gita as well. It's such an important point that Krishna has spoken it twice. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Mam evaishyasi satyam te pratijani priyosime. You are so dear to me. You are so beloved to me. Just fix your consciousness on me. Put your mind on me. And so, is it practical? Is it something we can do? How do we fix our consciousness on him? And how do we do it? Those same things that we, the first step, those same things, that same sense pleasure that we are trying to get from our senses. Rishikesha Rishikena Sevayor Bhaktir Uchate. Take those same senses, offer it to Krishna. Do it for Krishna. Do it for Krishna's senses. So right now, if I'm not at the stage where I'm going to make pizza because my senses are asking for pizza. Everybody loves pizza and ice cream. Do we all love pizza and ice cream? So even the Indian Prabhujis love pizza more than anything else, more than dhokla or more than rice dal. Okay, everyone loves pizza. You think of pizza, you see pizza, you want to eat it. Your senses are like yummy, calling for it. You smell it from the kitchen and you're calling for it. And so our senses are very powerful right now. They're like all we know. Those same senses, use it for Krishna. It's so simple. We know this. Have everything, all of our senses used in Krishna's service. So the lowest level is, I like pizza, so I'm going to offer it to the Lord. Higher than that is, what does Krishna want to eat today? I'm so lucky my mother is here with me. She's so enchanted and enamored by her Gornithai deities. And she reads Chaitanya Charitamrita every single day. And every single day in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are so many different explanations of the different types of foodstuffs that Gauranga Mahaprabhu ate with his associates. And so she's always like coming up with different ways to feed them, different ingredients, different, oh, they want this today. Oh, they want that today. And my kids and us, sometimes we make fun of her. Is it that she wants to eat it? And she's saying, Gornithai wants to eat it. Is it really that Gornithai really wants to eat it? But we see all these things, whatever she thinks of. The other day she said, maybe Gornithai wants pizza. It's been a long time since they've had pizza. And she had just said it in the morning, and I went to school, and one of my students, father came to me at the end of the day, Mataji, I have a gift for you. And it's a whole container of pizza. And so, like this, I realized, okay, it must be Gornithai does want to eat this, then she is connected. And so that's then we come to that higher level. What does Krishna want? What are his desires? What are his senses asking for? Instead of what are my senses asking for? And I'm going to dovetail it, which is kind of the level we're at right now. What do his senses want? And how will I satisfy his senses? So how will we know that? Fix your consciousness on me. Pick up Srimad Bhagavatam. Pick up Krishna book. Listen to the classes. Listen to the stories. Learn who is Krishna. What does Krishna like? Who is he? And then you'll start understanding a little bit about what he wants. So that's the first thing. Man mana bhava mad bhakto. And then the second thing he's saying is, so the first thing is fix your consciousness on me. The second most important thing he's saying is share it with me. And so Krishna is never alone. He never stands alone. And the number one person, the very, very first personality, supreme personality that he shared himself with is, who is that? The first, the most strongest, best, dearest friend of Krishna, most confidential associate with Sri Krishna is Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani, guess what, is also the pleasure potency, Ladini Shakti. So we're talking about happiness here. Srimati Radharani is the one from which all of pleasure comes from, and she is the one who gives pleasure to Krishna. And so Krishna is sharing his pleasure with Srimati Radharani eternally, and he's inviting us to share it with him. And so not only do we now fix our consciousness on Krishna, we beg Srimati Radharani, we pray to Srimati Radharani, please allow us to fix our consciousness and our mind on you. And we are always seeking to bring them both together where they can share their consciousness, they can share their happiness with each other. And the way we do that is by chanting Hare, Srimati Radharani's name, and Krishna, Krishna's name, and bringing them together. So those two steps, fixing your consciousness on him by using your senses in Krishna's service and then trying to please Krishna's senses. And secondly, by becoming a humble servant to Srimati Radharani. And who comes as the combined form of Krishna and Srimati Radharani? Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And he gives completely the essence of how to be happy through this word sharing. His whole purpose is, okay, Krishna is sharing with Srimati Radharani, Krishna is sharing with the individual soul, and for us to tap into that happiness, we share this happiness with the entire creation, with as many people as you want. And every Hare Krishna devotee will tell you that they found their most blissful days, their happiest moments, were when they were sharing Krishna with someone else, whether through book distribution or through kirtan, when they took that extra time to share it with someone else. So even if you feel that you're not qualified, who am I to share it with someone else? I don't know anything. Still put yourself in situations continuously to try and share Krishna consciousness, the holy name, stories of Krishna with someone else. And then what happens when we do this? We start getting a glimpse of this world that Krishna is talking about, where you find happiness wherever you go. He's not saying you'll find happiness only if you don't get hit by a big disease, or only if you don't go into a war-torn region. You see Indradumna Maharaj and the great pure devotees, no matter where they go, not only are they experiencing internal happiness, they are never shaken. They are still giving happiness to everybody, and that's the goal for us. And it's so attainable because Krishna is sitting here inside of your heart, just saying, grab my hand, take it, come with me, pulling us out of that muck of sense gratification. And then it's so interesting when you read the Nectar of Devotion and you read all of the different happinesses that are shared. There are so many different varieties of happiness that it's unfathomable. I've been fortunate to give lectures or give classes. For me, giving class means I get to really study the scripture in depth. And Krishna speaks through us through these verses and these classes and these Bhagavatam pages. And everyone until now has been a lot of detail and a lot of research on suffering, different types of suffering, what suffering does, how to remove suffering. But this is the first time I'm getting the chance to really go delving into the different types of spiritual happiness. And it's such a wonderful experience for us that if you read about it in the Nectar of Instruction, they have so much happiness, so much eternal happiness, that there are so many levels of happiness. First, they have five rasas. The rasas are the moods in which the devotee plays with the Lord. Shantaras, Dasiras, Vatsalya, Madhurya, and I'm missing one. Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. And then even in those rasas, there are categories and subcategories of the specific servant, like Hanumanji, Bhishmadev, what their mood was in Chantaras and the flavor that they went through. And if you go into it, you so much happiness that each devotee is getting in their specific nature. And then even in addition to that, there are what they call bhavas, and I'll have to read this. A bhava is an emotion. Different emotions of happiness are present. And here we are. There's ashtasattvika bhava. This is the eight different types of symptoms. That there's so many different types of happiness that there are even different symptoms that come. Herpalation and withdrawing of the arms and eyes getting bigger and quivering. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he touches upon this in his Shikshashtaka prayers. And even our own very deity, Sri Jagannath, is Krishna himself experiencing these ecstasies and these happinesses, that the happiness is so profound that even your body physically changes. And then even in addition to that, there are different ecstasies, Sambhoga and Vipralamba. You have to read the Nectar of Instruction, the Nectar of Devotion. Four or five chapters are just on these different types of happiness. And then what I will end with are, there are even different gradations of smiles. They have so much happiness, they don't spend any time discussing in the spiritual world the types of distress. Just a little bit. But their happiness is so much more the priority and so much more what they experience, that there are even six different types of smiles. So I'm going to end with this. Six different types of smiles and different stories that portray those different types of smiles. Smita is the smile where the cheeks have been indented, but no teeth are showing. That's smita. So we can all just smita. And we can look at Krishna right now, and he's holding a smita. And then hasita is number two, and that's where the teeth are slightly visible. Slightly visible. And vihasita is where the teeth are distinctly visible. So now you're smiling, but you actually really can see the teeth. And avahasita is the next level. And here, it's like a grin. Your nose is puffed, your eyes are squinted, and the teeth are completely visible. Like in the cartoon characters where they have the teeth sticking out and the person is super happy. And then even the next step is apahasita. Now you have tears added from the eyes and shoulders are shaking. So if you've seen His Holiness Srila Radhanath Swami, when he laughs, his shoulders shake. It's such a beautiful thing. And so that's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That was the fifth level. And then even more than that, the last level is atihasita. The smiling person is so happy that they're clapping their hands and jumping in the air. And that's the sixth level of happiness, which is atihasita. And so Krishna is saying, today, with these verses, Krishna, who's sitting right in our hearts, he's brought you here to read these verses. He's brought me here to read these verses. Today he's saying, give all of that up. Grab my hand. Come with me, share this with me. And if you go in the spiritual world, they are sharing these types of happinesses. One example, a beautiful story that is spoken of in the Nectar of Devotion is Krishna's playing with his cowherd boys and they all sit down because it's a long day. He has to take care of all of those cows. It's a little warm and they're sweaty and they want to rest. And Sri Krishna and Sri Balaram are staying there with their cowherd boyfriends. And Krishna is relaxing, and I can just imagine they're all like just resting now. The work is done. It's the afternoon after lunch. And after lunch, everybody likes to eat sweets. I know I do, perhaps because I'm Gujarati. I have to have something sweet after I eat my meal, even if it's just a raisin, if there's nothing else available. And so one of the cowherd boys looks at Krishna and says, oh, you probably want something sweet. I have a very delicious laddu to give you. But it's a surprise. Close your eyes and open your mouth. And so, of course, Krishna's in everybody's heart. He knows everything. But in his yoga maya, he acts with his friends that he doesn't know everything. And so innocently, Krishna opens his mouth. And the cowherd boy takes a flower and pops the flower into Krishna's mouth. And Krishna starts chewing it, thinking it's this delicious laddu. And his face just contorts in the most disgusting taste and spits it out. And all of the cowherd boys burst out and they start laughing. And just one simple story. Then there's another story where when Krishna was stealing butter, which he has to do every single day, because the gopis are sitting at home making the butter, outwardly feigning that, oh, Krishna better not come, but inwardly hoping and wishing Krishna does come to my house today. And so this is a particular place where there is an old mother named Jarati. Jarati, I think, is her name. And she's in the back. I'm mixing a few stories together here. But this mother, this gopi who has made butter, has decided that she is going to trick Krishna this time, and she's definitely going to make sure he does not come for that butter. And she creates a laser maze. Now, not with lasers, but with strings with hanging bells. Have any of you heard this story? Maybe, perhaps. The strings with the hanging bells are crisscrossed across the entire room. If you touch one string, the bell will ring on that string, and because that string is moving, all the other strings will ring, ring, ring. How have you been ever to a laser maze? Have you ever walked through a laser maze? If you haven't, it's something that is very interesting to do. There's one in the Grapevine Mills Mall, Outlet Mall, if you want to take the kids, just a few dollars, and they can try and walk through a laser maze. And so when you walk through the laser maze, this story becomes very real to you, because you know what it's like to get through the laser maze. And so Krishna walks in and sees, looks at his coward boyfriends, what are we going to do now? There's a laser maze. It's not like it's just high. Before, the gopis were just placing it high in a dark place. We have effulgences. We don't have to worry about the dark place. We can pile up the coward boys and the mortars. We can reach the high place. But now it's like another level of difficulty here. This gopi's very smart. She's created a laser maze. So Krishna cheated a little. And he decides, I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I can tell the bells to just not ring. And so he tells the bells, giving you a very strict instruction. No matter what, don't ring. If I bump into you, I don't bump into you, do not ring. So he goes inside, gets through all the wires, gets up to the pot. And as he's holding the pot, he just gets about to put it in his mouth. And as soon as the butter touches his lips, ding, 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 the whole room is filled with bells ringing. And the coward boys are freaking out. Oh no, we're gonna get in trouble. We're gonna get in trouble. They're quick. Let's go, let's go. And Krishna is shocked. I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I told you not to ring. Why are you ringing? And all the bells are just humbly saying, my dear Lord, the Vedic scriptures say that when the Lord eats, the bell rings. When the Lord's offering is made here, the bell rings. We have to follow that. And so all the bells are ringing and the coward boys and everybody start laughing and laughing and laughing. And then, you know, of course, we know the rest of it, the gopis chase. And so then I'll end with one last story. And this is when the gopis, you know, what's so beautiful about transcendental happiness is that the pure devotee, and especially Srimati Radharani, she's not even concerned about her own happiness. The gopis are not even concerned. Right now, I'm very much concerned about my happiness. I'm wanting to read this and understand it and how to give up sense gratification. Krishna, I really want to share happiness with you because my happiness is so important. But the gopis are not even concerned about their own happiness. It's like the last thing on their mind. They only want Krishna's happiness. They only want Krishna to be happy. So all of these arrangements and things that happen in the spiritual world, it becomes like a transcendental competition, where Krishna is trying to increase the gopis' happiness and the gopis are trying to increase Krishna's happiness, and they're like fighting with each other in order to increase the other person's happiness. And then this last story is a really funny one as well. I'm going to see if I can pull it out real quick. Krishna once addressed Jarati, this old gopi, thus, my dear good woman, the skin of your face is now slackened. And so your face exactly resembles a monkey's. So he's making fun of this poor gopi ma, this grandma gopi. As such, the king of the monkeys, Bali Mukha, has selected you as his worthy wife. So the gopis are like all a little surprised. How is she going to respond? She's a grandma. You're not supposed to joke around so much like that. And while Krishna was teasing Jarati in this way, she replied that she was certainly aware of the fact that the king of the monkeys was trying to marry her. But, my dear Krishna, I have already taken shelter of you. You will be my husband. On hearing this sarcastic reply by the talkative Jarati, all the cowherd girls present there began to laugh very loudly and clap their hands, and they experienced ati hasita, the last stage of happiness. So it is very much in our reach. Number one, let us give up sense gratification that comes from our senses. Let me give that up. Let me know that by giving that up, I will see Krishna more. Number two, let me give up mukti, or this idea of liberation from suffering, which I was going to tell you a story of that too. I think I have a few seconds, I will. And let me put my mind on Krishna every single day. Ahoituki apratihata, every day, uninterrupted. If I can't do it 24 hours a day, let me do it every single day, no matter what, throughout the year. Put my mind on Krishna. Take some time to read about Krishna. Chant Krishna's names. Why they say that liberation is a detriment to pure transcendental love? Because our goal is not to give up all desires, and our goal is not to give up our senses. Our goal is to actually establish our spiritual senses and our spiritual desires. And when you become a Mayavadi or a monist or just seeking liberation from the senses, you're cutting off that chance of your senses to grab onto Krishna's senses and to experience transcendental happiness. And one beautiful story I just read this morning about it was that, and I might get it a little wrong because I just read it and I want to understand it a little more. Srimati Radharani was with the gopis and Krishna. and all the residents of Vrindavan were surrounding. And there was a big festival that they were having. And as part of the festival, they played some games. And one of the games was that the creatures or the animals were bound by ropes. I'm actually going to, it's right here on my laptop. Let me say it properly. I don't want to mistake in it. So if you can just give me 1 second. Okay. No, they were not bound by ropes. This is a story from Jiva Goswami's Madhava Mahotsava. Directed by Purnamasi, the chief elders gave their blessings to Srimati Radharani. Dear Srimati Radharani, please enjoy this kingdom of Vrindavan, which is served by Purnamasi. While giving the blessings, all of these elders, their own prosperity increased. After the Abhishek of the festival, Srimati Radharani gave the order. Let all the prisoners, all of the bound creatures, those who are Banda, be liberated. So let Mukti appear and let everyone who's bound up by material suffering be liberated. When Radha said this, an astounding event occurred. Krishna suddenly became bound up. Upon hearing this blessing of liberation for all creatures, the Sakhis also, being bound by love to Krishna, shook in fear. As there were no bound up creatures that were bound by material suffering, the birds and beasts assisting in the pastimes were liberated, but they could not give up their internal bondage of prema. So we don't want to be liberated and go into just om and liberated from material suffering. We want to use our senses and use our desires in Krishna's service, and we want to become completely bound up by Krishna. Are there any questions? Or comments? Yes, Naimi Sharanya Prabhu? Okay, so you want to elaborate a little bit on separation from material. So basically negating the material senses. Separation from material happiness. So there's the separation from sense enjoyment. That's called bhukti. There's two margas. There's bhukti and there's mukti. And so most of the materialists are enjoying their material senses, most in this world. And then there are the monists or the mayavadis or the transcendentalists or the spiritualists. And their whole path is, if you look, Buddhism and Shankarites, and the whole path is how to negate material happiness. Neti, neti, you know? Like even Ramakrishna has said, if you see money, you reject it. We don't want it. We don't want it. But Srila Prabhupada says the opposite. No. If we see money, he says, give me. I will use it in Krishna's service. We're not trying to say, don't ever enjoy your senses. Don't eat nice Krishna prasad. And it's a misconcept that we think that becoming spiritual and becoming Krishna conscious means give up sense enjoyment. We give up sense enjoyment for our own senses, but we definitely use our senses in Krishna's service, and we definitely experience pleasure, transcendental pleasure. It's not that we're trying to just be completely withdrawn like that. It's very clear here in the Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, that Rupa Goswami and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is saying very clearly that that has to be rejected. That idea that spiritual life is no happiness whatsoever, that must be rejected. That's another false entanglement. It's a false trap. Because we're suffering so much from material sense enjoyment that we just want to get rid of it, that we go to mukti. But mukti, one who is following that path, they can only hit the outside of the spiritual world. Patanti adho anadrita yushmalangraya. What's the beginning of the verse? I don't remember. The last line is that one who is trying to achieve the Brahman, or the place of no material happiness, no suffering, no pain, no misery, just happiness. It is very much happiness. It's considered 100,000 times more than the happiness experienced by Indra, Brahmananda. It is a lot of happiness there, and you feel like you're in spiritual ecstasy when you get to that place, because like I said, you have the Salem witch trials. You have no material misery whatsoever now. You feel completely shanta, in a state of peace. But you have not tasted supreme nectar. You have not entered into the personal relationships with Krishna. You have not used your senses, your body, in the personal experiences with Krishna and his devotees. And actually what ends up is it makes you very hard-hearted. Very hard-hearted, no senses, no enjoyment. Yes, Krishna is saying, enjoy, share with me, enjoy with me. That's why we do kirtan, that's why we eat prasadam, that's why we have get-togethers, we have parties, we have our boat festival. Enjoy with me. We had some pseudo-devotee coming and getting on our case. Why are you doing this boat festival? This is nonsense. This is just sense enjoyment. No, that's mukti realm. That's the mukti marg. And that mukti marg, you're just going to have to fall back down, because anandamaya bhyasat, the living entity, automatically wants to be happy. You can't just say, oh, I'm not going to be materially misery, and I'm also not going to be spiritually happy. You have to have something to go to, because we're automatically happy. Does that explain it a little? Yes? Yes. So I had the same question. So I read a few more verses a little bit more. And it's so beautiful. I can give you a preview. I hope it's okay. It's just two verses down. And Krishna says, if my devotee has not fully conquered his senses, he may be harassed by material desires, but because of his unflinching devotion for me, he will not be defeated by sense gratification. My dear Uddhava, just as a blazing fire turns firewood into ashes, similarly devotion unto me completely burns to ashes sins committed by my devotees. So externally, if we struggle and try to get rid of sense gratification, we may find ourselves like swimming upstream. That's why we must do what he's saying in this verse, fix your consciousness on me. That process of Shravana Kirtana, it's so powerful. Just the process of learning about Krishna, seeing who he is, chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is so powerful that after a few years, you will automatically see that sense gratification desire lessens. As much, the more you're able to fix your consciousness on Krishna, the more you will see the sense gratification lesson. And this has been my whole life story. As guru coolies, somehow or another, we tend to think that we're demigods in our past life and sense enjoyment's the way it's at. You know, that's what people have said about us. But Krishna is gradually taking us through this process. No, 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 no. Get rid of that sense enjoyment. Fix your consciousness on me. Learn how to satisfy my senses. And then he tells in so many different ways. Every day he comes in so many different ways, through devotees, through the verses, where we're supposed to go, what we're supposed to focus on next. The whole point of reading Srila Prabhupada's books is Krishna is talking to you. Every day if you read Srila Prabhupada's books, every day if you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Krishna becomes alive. And just as right now he's reaching his hand out and saying, share with me this happiness, dear Gopi, come into this happiness, share it with me. He'll speak to you whatever you need to hear at that particular point. And he'll tell you what the next step is and what the next step is. And then you'll start seeing, okay, I had that sense enjoyment I was really attached to. But look, he's brought the higher taste. You know, param drishvani vartate, and then it'll automatically go. You won't have to like unnecessary struggle through it. And the key is this, fix your consciousness on me. I hope that helps. The Shravana Kirtana process, it's the answer to everything. And it's very real. Yes? Thank you. Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.